بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir in this blessed mosque, the masjid of the Aminat schools, Bosso, Niger State, Nigeria, on this Wednesday, the 14th day of Ramadan, 1439 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. So we all know we are reading Surah Al-Imran, and we read Surah Al-Imran up to the what verse? So we read up to the 182nd verse of Surah Al-Imran. And that's the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. So inshaAllah ta'ala, we shall continue with the 183rd verse. We've been talking about the things that the unbelievers said, those who are being preached to, the things they use to respond to the preacher, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we read the verse in which Allah said, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ, in response to what the Muslims were calling them to. The Muslims, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, like we read yesterday, went to the unbelievers and were preaching Islam to them. He was preaching Islam to them, and he was asking them to accept Islam, to do this, to do that. And finally he also said, and you give Allah a good loan. And so they responded that if Allah needed a loan from them, it means Allah is poor and they are rich, because you only go to seek loans from those who are richer than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to what they were saying and rebuked them for it, and was correcting the impression that they had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was reporting the things they said, and like we said, he is also pointing out the errors in the things they are saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now said, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already promised that he would punish them and give them the painful torment that is in Jahannam. So Allah said that will be because of what their hands had bought for them. Allah is punishing them because they have wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have used their hands to harm themselves. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do wrong to any soul. So whatever punishment he makes out to any soul, it's because of what the soul has caused for itself. So inshallah we shall continue with the 183rd verse, in which Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ قَالُوا
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhina qalu inna allaha ahida ilayna alla nu'mina li rasulin hatta ya'tiyana bi qurbanin ta'kuluhu an-nar قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلما قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين قالوا, those unbelievers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about, those ones that he will punish in hellfire, are the ones who said, Inna Allah ahida ilayna, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has held a covenant with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us and instructed us, Alla nu'mina li rasulin, against believing any messenger of Allah. Hatta ya'tiyana bi qurban, until such a person brings to us that which we shall sacrifice to get close, to get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'kuluhu an-nar, and that sacrifice we shall make shall be consumed by a fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send from heaven. Qul qad ja'akum rasulun min qabli, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayka wa alihi wa sallam, qad ja'akum rusulun min qabli bil bayyinat, verily messengers before me have come to you with clear signs. Wa bil ladhi qultum, and with that which you are talking about now. They have come to you with clear signs, with the mu'jizat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them to come to you. Moses came to you with the staff. Isa came to you and cured the leper and gave them fingers with the permission of Allah. Isa also resurrected the dead, and so on and so forth. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And the other messengers came with what they came with. All of them with signs, clear signs, that mu'jizat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِمَا قُلْتُمْ, and some of them also came with what you are talking about now. That is, they came with those and things of sacrifice, things to be sacrificed, which when they were sacrificed, Allah would send fire to lick them, to destroy them, and they would not exist again. The fire will burn them to ashes, and that would show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted the sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some messengers before me with such things. Allah said, tell them that. وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ فَلِمَا قَتَلْتُمُهُمْ, why is it that when they came with those signs, you killed them? Allah said, if a prophet does not come to you with such signs, don't believe him. But prophets came to you with such signs, yes, yet you killed them. You did not believe in them, you killed them. That means even if another prophet were to come with such signs, you still would not believe in that prophet. Because some came to you before them, and before then, before me, and you did not believe in him. You did not believe in them. You killed them instead. So what guarantee do we have that you will believe if I were to give you such signs? In kuntum sadiqeen. Why did you kill them if you were really truthful? that what you wanted was a sign. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا الآية. The ulama say, Al-Imam al-Kalbi says, نَزَلَتْ فِي كَعْبِ بْنِ الْأَشْرَفِ, that this ayah was revealed concerning Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, wa Malik ibn al-Saif, wa Wahab bin Yahudha, wa Zayd ibn al-Tabut, and so on and so forth. This ayah was revealed concerning these people. What is it that they did that led to the revelation of this ayah? These people came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said to him, Ya Muhammad, O you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, taz'umu anna Allah ta'ala ba'athaka ilayna rasula. Just like we read yesterday, that you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to us as a messenger, wa anzala alayka kitaban, and that he sent to you a book, he gave you a book, he revealed to you a book, wa anna Allah ta'ala qad ahida ilayna fi at-tawrah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held a promise with us in the Torah, alla nu'mina li rasulin, that we should not believe in any messenger, يزعم أنه من عند الله, that is claiming that he is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار, until he comes to you, to us, with a thing of sacrifice which shall be taken, which shall be licked by the fire. فإن جئتنا به صدقناك, if you come to us with that, then we will agree with you, we will believe in you, and we will confirm all that you say. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, then Allah revealed, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, those ones who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard, just like yesterday he said, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, so now it is الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, أي سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, إن الله عهد إلينا. They are saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us against you. You are saying you are a prophet. You are saying you came to us with a book. You are saying this, you are saying that. Well, we are telling you now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us against people like you. So if anybody comes and says he's a prophet, this is his test. We will test him like that. If he passes our test, then we will believe in him. If he does not pass our test, then we will not believe in him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if this were true, that you don't believe in any prophet until he comes with these signs, prophets came to you before me, why did you not believe them? You know, this reminds me of a boy who is actually my nephew. That one day he was talking while I was standing there. He wanted me to hear what he was saying. And he was saying that when they say malam, malam now, they just call people malam now. But that before we used to have malam. Now it's no longer malam that we have. They're just claiming to be malam. He said in those days, if one was said to be malam, and you come to him and tell him that this is your problem, you need this, you need that, he will just tell you, go to sleep, no problem. And the next day you will see the thing happening as you wanted it. Say, that is malam. But these ones now, they only preach and preach and they don't do any wonderful thing. These ones are not malam. So he wanted me to perform some magic for him so that he would believe I'm malam. So he was indirectly telling me, if you want us to believe you're malam, then you have to perform some magic. These are the people that our people now believe. And they go into these things because that's where they make the money. They make a lot of money when they go into such things. So people of little faith, or people that have no faith at all, what they want to see is some miracle happening physically. They see some things happening which ordinarily human beings should not do. Good. They believe this as coming from Allah. You see, like many of our Christians today, that's what they believe. Somebody comes and claims to be doing magic. Wallahi al-Azim, I met a brother in Ibadan, in the residence of the late Arisha Kola Lau. You know him? Who knows him here? How many people know him here? Or how many people knew him? Because he's dead now. Arisha Kola Lau, he was a very rich man. Smallish. If you see him, you wouldn't believe that he's the man they're talking about. The first day I saw him, I felt like lifting him with one hand. Very small but big man. I went to Ibadan and they took me to his place. Perhaps he said he wanted to see me. So we went and sat in his place and were discussing. And then they just showed me one young man by his side. He said, "You see this man, he's a criminal." They were saying that and laughing. They said, "This man you are seeing, that he is one of those people that those pastors use to make miracle." And then they now asked him to demonstrate what he does in the church. He walks like a cripple and you will believe he's a cripple. You will believe truly that he's a cripple. And that one pastor used him. They mentioned the pastor, I can't remember his name. It's a very popular pastor up there. And that he came and pretended to be lame, and then the pastor was praying and doing all his jagwajantis, and then the guy started walking well. And they shouted, "Hallelujah!" that he had done some miracle. And then they gave him his share, and he went away. Subhanallah. He's a Muslim. Muslim. And because of that, some weak Muslims actually embraced Christianity and left Islam. So what has he done? He said he only wanted the money. So those gullible Muslims did not know in the first place that this man was not even a Christian. And that he actually was not a cripple. He was not lame. There was nothing wrong with him. He only pretended to be one because they wanted to use him to deceive the people. You know, the false prophets that Jesus talked about in the Quran that would come. The liars that will come and lie in the name of Allah and say they are doing miracles. Some of them go to Babalawos and collect potions, magic potions. And they use those to do some magic and deceive the people. Because people that have no faith, that's all they want to see. If they don't see that, they don't believe. They don't believe in the scripture. They don't believe in the words of Allah. Even if a magician comes to them and performs magic, they believe him more than somebody who will be preaching with the Quran and the Sunnah. That is your problem. So you find a lot of ulama turning into 419ers. Because that is what the people believe. It is these people mostly that are taken to Mecca for Hajj. It is these people that are taken to Medina for Umrah. It is such people that these people buy cars for. I think I told you the story of a young man who got into this kind of thing. And he did something for a woman. She had a problem. She wanted that problem solved. I think it was a contract or something. And she wanted somebody to do some magic to make the government people pay her money, which was being delayed. And this boy said he could do it. He did some magic. And somehow, because it was time for Allah to bring that money to her, it was approved and she got the money and she believed that it was because of what this boy had done. So she decided to show him her gratitude, and then she gave him a car, a brand new second hand car. You know what we buy now is brand new second hand, isn't it? When you say somebody has bought a brand new car, it's actually brand new second hand. It has been used for perhaps 14 years, and then it's refurbished, and then comes back here as brand new. Subhanallah, that's what we now buy as brand new cars. So she bought him such, and then gave him some money and all that. And so to the villager, this boy had made it. So he came to the village to greet his people and to show them what he had gotten. So of course, like we also always say, our village people, when you say my village people have put eyes on me, that means that they say my village people, your village people don't do you. Huh? So he came, and actually somebody wanted to do him in the village because they were envious of that. There is this old man that he always gives some things when he comes. If he comes home, you get some big, big kola. You know our old people. Some, instead of taking money to them in the village, bring them kola. They will bless you more. Because these are things they hardly see. People hardly bring kola to their villages. In the north here, if it's in the southwest, maybe you pick kola on the ground. Abi? Because it's from you people that we go to get. But here, in the villages, sometimes they send a boy with 500 naira transport fare, and then give him money to come and buy kola, because you get addicted to it. So he used to take a lot of kola to that old man, and that old man appreciated that a lot. So that time he came with the car, he was going around and showing people the car, and they were blessing it. And then this old man said, when you are going home, when you are going away, you're going back to your Lagos, where you work, don't forget to come to me. I want to talk to you. So he came. He said, you are going today? He said, yes. He brought him the kola, brought him some things. So he was praying for him. Say, God bless you, this and that. He said, when you are going today, you are driving and you are following Soso Road. Abi, he said, yes. On your way, you will see a small boy with hoe on his shoulder going to the farm, and he's waiting to cross the road. He will not cross the road until you get very close to him. Then he will attempt to cross the road. Do not dodge him. You hear? He said, yes. Do not dodge that boy. Do you hear me? Said yes. Do not dodge him. Kill him. Subhanallah. Don't dodge him. Oh, he said yes. Okay, I'm doing it to protect you. So as he was going, he actually saw that boy. He saw a boy with a hoe. And the boy did not cross until he had gotten very close. When he tried to cross, he hit him. And then he went away. He didn't stop. He said, don't stop. If you hit him, continue moving. And he continued moving. The frontal side of his car was damaged. There were things that were damaged from the outside. But because he didn't touch the radiator, he didn't touch the engine, he didn't stop the car. They moved. But then he went and repaired all those ones. And then the next time he heard about his village, heard story from home. They said his uncle was hit down by a car with a hoe on his shoulder while going to the farm, that he was going to cross the road when the car hit him. So it turned out that small boy was actually his uncle. Perhaps that uncle had told that old man that he was going to do this and that. And the old man now came and was talking to him as if he knew the gaib, the unseen. And this boy now believed that old man actually knows the unseen. Because of this kola note that he was giving the boy, the old man did not want the boy to die, because he wants his kola note supplier to stay alive. So he went and exposed his uncle. And it turned out that it was actually his uncle that was that small boy. This is now what they, such people are paid more than somebody who does the tafsir of the Quran, somebody who teaches Bukhari and Muslim and all that. Nobody cares about him. But that one, you know, that boy would think, that man has saved my life. So anything he gets, you give that man. That woman was giving him, he was giving this man. And who was making profit? Shaitan. Because he was getting a lot of people to leave Allah and to depend on people. And to believe more in human beings than in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you lose your faith, the shaitan increases followers, and then at least he's assured that there will be many people with him in Jahannam. So people believe these things more because they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyadhan billah. So these people, they said, if you will come to us with such a thing, we will believe. And then Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to tell them, if it is true that that is what you're waiting for, why did you kill the ones that came before me? Why didn't you just believe in them? It means you're liars. Even if I come to you with Qurban, you will not believe me. So it's not the Qurban that you're waiting for. So it is said that these people came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and said these things. So they said, لَا نُصَدِّقُ رَسُولًا يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. We will not believe any messenger that comes to us and claims that he is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ, until he comes to us with an animal to be sacrificed. And when we sacrifice that animal, we will keep it, because the way they were in their own time, if they fought wars, for instance, and they won booties, they were not allowed to use them. They were not allowed to use such booties. So they would just allow the fire to come and eat up the booties. And that would that would confirm that in the first place it was right for them to afford that war, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted this from them. والقربان كل ما يتقرب به العبد إلى الله تعالى. The Qurban is anything that the servant will use to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من نسيكة, either what you sacrifice, like during the Eid al-Adha, for instance, you sacrifice an animal, you leave it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring that fire, and the fire will consume it. That means Allah has accepted from you. أو صدقة, or a sadaqah that you have given. وَعَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ, or any good deed can also be said to be a qurban, like salah, zakah, and so on, and fasting. They are all qurban because you're doing them to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in their own time, كانوا إذا قربوا قربانا أو غنموا غنيمة, in their own time, if they made any sacrifice, they presented anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would allow it to be consumed by that fire. Or if they won a war, they were victorious in any war, and there were booties, then they would allow those booties to be consumed by that fire that would come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fire would be white, not reddish. It would come in flames, white, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without smoke. It would not have any smoke. And then it would eat up everything that they had sacrificed, and then they would believe. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited that law up to the time of Moses. But after Moses, after David, after Sulaiman, when it came to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah told them it would no longer apply to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. It would no longer apply to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. So he does not have to come to you with that. These two do not have to come to you with that. But they refused to reveal that because they just do not want to believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When you see somebody that keeps giving excuses for not believing in the truth, probably this man will never be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, as a caller to the way of Allah, do not argue too much with people. If you observe a people that do not need the guidance, all they want to do is to keep arguing. They are not interested actually in following the truth. Do not waste your time on them. Preach to them when you have the time, but don't let them take too much of your time. Concentrate more on those who are interested in the guidance, because there are many people out there that are more interested in the guidance than in arguments. Do not waste your time on people who are only interested in arguing, because some of them may actually not have the help. It may be that Allah has decreed that they will never be guided, just like these people. They'll keep arguing, coming with empty arguments, not because they want to discover the truth, but simply because all they are interested in is the argument. They are never interested in accepting the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not waste your time on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, just ask them, why did you kill the others? If you were actually waiting for that, they came to you with that, in kuntum sadiqeen. If you are truthful, you should have believed them and not killed them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, Allah says, فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ. In another qira'ah, it says, جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ. So Allah says, فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ, if they still disbelieve you, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, do not be bothered by that, because many messengers before you had been denied. Many messengers before you had been disbelieved. So you are not the first to be disbelieved. Therefore, whatever rudeness you see from those you are preaching to, do not allow that to get to you. Do not allow that to demoralize you. Do not allow it. Because whatever it is they have done to you, they have done worse things to messengers before you, to prophets before you, to the Sahaba, to the Tabi'un, to the Tabi'ut Tabi'een. Do you know how Shaykh al-Islam died? Do you know how Ibn al-Qayyim died? Sa'id bin Jubair, do you know how he died? All these people were brutally killed. Because of what? Because of their da'wah. Malik bin Anas was brutalized for teaching and insisting on the sunnah, until at the time he couldn't even raise one of his hands properly, as some people relate. Some people doubt this narration, but then let's assume it is true, that he couldn't raise his hands, and that's how he prayed, with his hands down. And so you find the Malikiyah today praying with their hands down. Huh? He actually did not report any hadith in which he was praying with his hands down. He did not report any hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam in which Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam prayed with his hands down. He didn't. He reported the ahadith of qabdu and wadu. Malik reported the hadith of wadu and he reported the hadith of qabdu. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith of qabdu. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Muslim, all these people. Nobody related clearly the hadith of as-sadlu. Nobody did. So all these people were brutalized. Ibn al-Qayyim was tied to a camel and dragged on the ground with his head hitting stones and all that until he died. Many du'at were brutalized like that. Sa'id bin Jubair was slaughtered on the order of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Abdullah bin Zubair was killed on the orders of Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Uthman bin Affan was killed, even though his own was by rebels. Huh? By young kids who were hotheads. The Shia, they killed him. They killed Ali ibn Abi Talib. They killed Hussein. And they claim it was Yazid. They killed Hussein. Yazid never killed Hussein. They, the Shiites, killed Hussein. All of these people were murdered because they decided, they insisted on standing on the truth. So if you preach to people today and they persecute you and they victimize you, do not allow that to get to you at all. Do not be feel down by that, because people more important than you have experienced worse things from the enemies of Islam. So it's just one of those things, the trials that you have to go through. So just be patient. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ. They came with clear signs. Moses came with a staff. Isa came and healed the lepers, and so on and so forth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also came with this. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. There are many ahadith in which Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam did wonderful things. Huh? Yet people before you, Allah is telling him, the messengers before you, they came with clear signs. وَبِالزُّبُرْ. And they came with books that were written. They came with the scripture. Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he came with the Torah. And it was written, it was sent to him in slate. He presented it to them, they rejected him. لَن نُؤْمِنَ بِكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. Despite all the signs they saw, they said, we will not believe you until we see Allah with our kuru eyes. Is that not how you people say it? Huh? Until we see him clearly, we will not believe you. They told him that. So do not be discouraged by the fact that they do that to you. Wasbir. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Be patient. Your patience will be rewarded only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Do not be sad. Do not be dampened. Do not be discouraged. Do not be depressed because of what they say or do to you. وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِّمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Do not allow yourself to get depressed over the things that they are plotting, the plots that they are, the plans that they are hatching against you, to kill you, to do this, to do that. Do not allow yourself to be weighed down by that. Inna Allaha ma'a alladhina taqaw. If you stay by Allah, you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you obey Allah, you believe in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. He will be with you. He will help you. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Where is it? فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ. Ibn Amir recites it as Wabiz Zubur, ay bil kutubi al mazbura. That is books that have been written, revealed, written in their written form and sent to you. Wal kitab al munir. The one is Zabur, the plural is Zubur. So if you were to have two, what will it be? If you were to have two, what would it be? Zaburani. But there's nothing like that. So one is Zabur and the other is Zubur. Can you give me another example of a word like that in Arabic that has this kind of form? The singular is Zabur. Ala wazni zabur. Can you give me any? Rasul. Rasul. The plural is Rusul. Give me another. Give me another. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal kitab al munir. They came with ayat, they came with what? Bil bayyinat, was zubur, and then they came with what? Al kitab al munir, ay al wadih al mudhi. They also came with the book, which was very clear and self-explanatory. Yet, those people did not believe. Therefore, if they do not believe you, and they make excuses, they give excuses for not believing you, leave them alone. Do not allow that to get to you. So Allah now says, نعم الله سبحانه وتعالى says كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah says كل نفس, every soul, أي منفوسة, every being that has the ruh blown into it, anything that breathes, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal, whatever breathes, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut, shall taste of death. Every living thing shall die. You know, some Sufiya today say Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam did not die, and he will not die. This is going to the extreme. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You shall die, you must die. Do we understand? So every soul shall taste of death. Every soul. Some years ago, something happened. That time that Ruqya was new and everybody was doing Ruqya, 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 Ruqya. It got to the level that BBC was also doing their own Ruqya. They went to somebody doing Ruqya and they said that they did Ruqya to one woman and then a jinni was talking from her mouth. And the man was saying that he was 4,000 years old, that he was living from the time of, that he was from Madiana, that he was from the people of Shu'aib, alayhi salam, that he was born in the time of Nabi Shu'aib, and he believed in him, and he had been his follower since then. But now he is tormenting a woman. He believed in Nabi Shu'aib, he had always been a mu'min, but now he is tormenting a woman and is residing in her. Which in the first place is an injustice. They are not supposed to reside like that in a human. If they do, they would harm the person. Because that's not their place of residence. They only do that when they want to cause harm to any person. But he was saying that. And one of the things he said is that they, the jinns, they do not die. That people say, some people say that they burn them during Ruqya and that they kill them. He said they do not die. That even he wants to die because he's very old. He was 4,000 years old and he was still alive and talking. And he said he would never die, but he was already old at that time. 4,000 years and he will never die. Now, how many more years will the world be? If he is just 4,000 years old and he's already so old and talking like a frail person, and the person lasts for another 1 million years, what will he be like? If just after 4,000 years old, after staying for 4,000 years, you're already so frail and you're talking and you're shivering and all that, and we can feel that you're actually shivering while talking. You are not even a good liar. He's not even a good liar. It's a bad liar. He said they do not die. It's a lie. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste of death. As long as you breathe, you talk, you do, you move, you eat, you drink, you must die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. It's reported in a hadith that when the earth was taken and Nabi Adam was created from it, the earth complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning that which had been taken from it, because it was from the earth that Nabi Adam was created. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the earth that what I took from you and whatever is taken from you will be returned to you. Everything taken from you will be returned to you. So there is no human being, there is no soul, there is no spirit, nothing that lives, nothing that lives that will not get back to the earth. Everything will get back to the earth. The people that die in fires, their ashes will get back to earth. The people that drown, their bodies will get back to earth. If you burn in a plane, you will come down. You, the plane, everything will come down. Your ash will be on the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the grave ready for you there. You will go back to earth. Everything that has existed was taken from the earth. Even these metals, they rust, and at the end of the day, they get back to earth. And then they form another thing again. Sometimes all of these things, you know, come back as petrol. So sometime in our lives, perhaps after we have died, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, only Allah knows, 200 years, we will turn to crude oil. And some people will use us to make yanga in their cars. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا. So whatever you see, however fine you look, whatever you look like now, wallahi, after some time, you will just be as if you never existed. Your great grandfather, do you know him? Huh? Do you know his name? Do you know what he looks like? Huh? Do you have any idea what he looks like? You don't. You have forgotten them as if they never existed. You too, that's how you will be. Some children will be asked one day, do you know so-so person? You say, hey, no, I don't. There's no way they can know you. You are gone, you're gone. They might say, well, we heard his story. One day we read in the book or somebody told his story. Or, you know, they said there was somebody like that, but we have no idea what he looked like. You are gone and nobody can remember you. Everything you are struggling to be today will disappear one day as if it never existed. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. And you will go back to earth as beautiful as you look. You know, some people boast and say they're beautiful, they look nice, they're tall, they're this, they're that. Subhanallah. All of that will disappear. All of that. I was reading the biography of Muhammad Ali. And the things that he used to intimidate his enemies. There was somebody, I've forgotten his name, one fighter, who refused to recognize his name, Muhammad Ali. And he said, you are lying. You must recognize me. So as he was fighting the person, he went particularly to make that person recognize his new religion. Because he had just embraced Islam then, and some of those people were saying, I do not recognize you as a Muslim. So that's your name, Muhammad Ali. I will not call you Muhammad Ali. I will call you Cassius Clay. So when they got into the ring and he was fighting, started beating him, said, what is my name? So he would give him punches. Bah, 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 bah. I say, what is my name? Call my name. So he was boasting after one of the fights. He said, I was telling you that the former champion was ugly. He didn't look nice. He looked this and that. The champion should be handsome like me. The champion of the world should be pretty like me. I'm pretty. I'm handsome. I'm this and that. He actually did it to intimidate those people. He actually did it to make them angry because they were criticizing him. He wanted to get back at them. And he used the little he had to preach Islam. I heard Abdul Hamid Kishk, rahimahullah, talking about Ali one day, and he said he was one boxer in America who embraced Islam, and they asked him, he was the world champion, he had a lot of money, he had this and that. They said, what is your greatest achievement? Is it that fight that you won? He said, no. It's not that fight I won. The day I embraced Islam, that remains the greatest day in my life. So Kishk used to be very proud of Muhammad Ali because of that. Said the young man that said that the greatest day in his life was the day he embraced Islam. So he was saying shame on Muslims who are born as Muslims, what they do not know the value of their Islam. To that man, all the things of the world that he got, he said, they were not important to him. It was the day that he met the man through whom he embraced Islam. Said that remains the greatest day in his life. And they asked him one day, now that you're retiring, what will you want to do? He says, I know that when I die, I will be resurrected and I may go to hellfire if I don't serve Allah. Blah, 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 blah. So he said, all the money I have made, I will use it to prepare for my akhirah so that inshallah I'll get to heaven when I die. But boasting, after boasting that he was handsome, he was this and that. Before he died, when I saw his picture, I could not believe that that was Muhammad Ali. He was no longer looking like that pretty young man, that handsome man, that this and that. He was, you know, he looked very different. He had changed. Perhaps Allah used that to cleanse him of his sins, to let him see that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah. He's the giver of that beauty and he can take it back. And he made him at least taste that, so that that perhaps may be his kafara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. No matter how the world impresses you, whatever impresses you in this world, remember this ayah. That thing will die. That thing will disappear. It will be as if it never existed. Kullu man 'alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. May Allah forgive us. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue from there. May Allah forgive the mistakes we have made. And if we have said anything right, oh Allah, please reward us. Not because we deserve it, but because you are the All Merciful. Yes? The first question. We used to pray 5:30 a.m. And on the first of Ramadan, it now changed to 5:05 a.m. immediately. Explain how Fajr appears and time for Fajr. No, it didn't change immediately to 5:05 a.m. Maybe in your mosque, because you were not monitoring the time. But I know that before Ramadan, the time had been changing. In my mosque, it had been changing. And before Ramadan, we used to pray at even 5 minutes past five. That is, the call was made before five, because we always give 10 minutes. So we're praying about 5 minutes past five, meaning that the call was made before 5 o'clock. So it's not it's all of a sudden that it changed. Maybe it's in your mosque that it changed. Huh? Fajr, Tulu al-Fajr is not 5 minutes past five. It is before five now. Here, in Niger State, it's hardly anywhere. It doesn't get to 5 minutes past five. It hardly even gets to 5 o'clock any longer. As for how you recognize the Fajr, the way you recognize it is that if you look towards the direction where the sun rises from, between the night and the dawn, you will begin to see the darkness of the night clearing from the horizon and rising like that. You understand? From that spot where the sun sets, that's where also the sun rises. Before the sun rises, the day will start clearing from there. So you begin to see a white thread, a tiny thread from there, and then that thread will keep rising. If it progresses like that, that is the Fajr, As-Sadiq. But the Al-Fajr Al-Kazib, it starts from up. So you see the whole sky clear. Do not take that time to be the time for Salatul Fajr, because that disappears after some time. But if it is the true Fajr, you stand watching it and you see that progressively it rises and rises and never falls. That means that is the day. Sometimes, especially in the rainy season, you are not able to see that, because the sky gets too dark for you to be able to notice that. That is why you estimate the time, so that on such days you just use an estimate of what you are used to. But on a clear day, you'll be able to see that if you observe. So if it's about that time that they say Tulu al-Fajr will occur, go to an area that is high in your part of the world, and then stand and look at the sky, observe, so that at least you'll be able to get that. If you're able to get that, it will last for some time before it changes. So you continue to do pluses and minuses. Now that we have astronomers helping us to do that, you don't have to stress yourself too much to say you have to see it yourself. Even though if you have the opportunity, there's no harm in it. Look for it yourself and then see it. But also, try to know the periods within which you have to be looking again, because it changes from time to time. It doesn't remain static. The people that are insisting on praying Dhuhr 2 o'clock, their problem is that they do not realize that the movement of the sun is continuous. La shamsu yanbaghi laha an tudrika al-qamar wa la al-laylu sabiqu an-nahar wa kullun fi falakin yasbahun. And as that movement occurs, you have change in time. Time changes in accordance with that. And so there is no way we can continue to have, for instance, Dhuhr at 2 o'clock. It's not possible. That change is for the day, from the morning till night. There's another change that is what? Of the months and of the year and so on. So some is for the weather, some is for the climate. You understand? As the movement gets to a level, the climate changes. And then you have what we now call climate change. And from place to place, you have different climates. Or are they the same? They are not the same. So there are such movements. And you have to consider them as far as the earth is concerned. As spherical as it is, as you move, you find different things happening. Some places, like the Antarctica today, Wallahu ta'ala alam, perhaps before the end of time, they will turn into deserts. And the deserts that you have now will turn into what you now know as the Antarctica. Wallahu ta'ala alam. We don't know how that region was in the beginning of the world. Things change. Some areas from your geography, you know that some deserts were not deserts before. What are the factors responsible for desertification? Sometimes it's these sandstorms. They settle in some areas gradually, and they take over the place. They take over the vegetation. So when you see some places as deserts today, don't laugh at them. It may be your place tomorrow. Only Allah knows. So these changes occur like that. And so it is not all of a sudden that it changed to 5 minutes past 5. I hope I've answered this question. This one says, is it permissible to use the old stance of an alim against him if we don't know if he has left it? It's wrong. If somebody had a stand 5 years ago, or 2 years ago, or even last year, you can't assume that he still holds on to that opinion now. Because people change. As they discover things, they change their opinions. You know, Malik ibn Anas, Malik changed some of his opinions. There was a student of Abu Hanifa, a famous student of his, a prominent student of Abu Hanifa. When he came to Medina and met Malik, he changed a lot of his opinions. And he used to say that if my Shaykh, Abu Hanifa, had known some of these ahadith that are now discovered, he would have changed some of his opinions. So, it's only right for you to assume, if you have not seen somebody for some time, or if you have not heard some of his changed opinions, to assume that he may have changed, and to give him a chance, and to give him a benefit of doubt, and then to wait and see, and probably make inquiries, to see what exactly is it that he believes now. As we learn, every day we learn new things. As we read, as we interact with people, as we meet ulama and so on, we ask questions, we learn a lot of things. And so we change our opinions. If any of you knew me 14 years ago when we started, or 15 years ago when we started this tafsir, you will know that I have changed some of my opinions. Plenty of my opinions. Because I make discoveries and I change and I tell you I used to think so, but now I know it's no longer so. There is nothing new about that. Malik bin Anas changed his opinions. Who am I? So if somebody sits down now and said, somebody told me that, somebody did that to me on Facebook, and he said that Omar Peko, who says this and that, who has this opinion, who blah blah blah, and I asked him, brother, did you ever hear that opinion from me? He said yes. When was that? He said more than 10 years ago. I say, subhanallah, I have even forgotten that I ever held that opinion, because I have since changed it. But he is going around telling people that that is my opinion. Unfortunately, I asked him for the whole world to see, because there are thousands of people who are reading what happens there. So I asked him, when was that? He said, more than 10 years ago. And some people say, subhanallah, more than 10 years ago? Well, these are the kind of du'as that you have today. Allahul Musta'an. May Allah forgive us. Now, so you don't use the past against people unless you are able to confirm that they still hold those opinions. You understand? This one says, is it permissible for a man to suck his wife's breast and even drink the milk while he is sucking it? First of all, do you have a wife? If you don't have a wife, I say shut up. Don't ask that question again. It's permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a hadith that shows that a woman, they wanted to make somebody haram for the other. And they said, all that you will do is just get him to drink from your milk and he will be haram unto you. Well, if a woman breastfeeds another, the last that we know of the hukum of Sharia is it has to be 5 consecutive times. And it has to be a baby that depends on the milk. But if a man sucks his wife's breast, and then the milk comes into his mouth and he drinks it, that will not make her haram to him, because she did not breastfeed him. He romanced her. He wasn't breastfeeding, he was romancing. It's different from the child who is actually suckling to live. He's feeding on it as food. There are 2 different things. This one says, may Allah increase me in knowledge and piety. I mean, and you too. He says, I usually pray at home with my wife because the masjid is far from our house and the road to the masjid seems not secure at night. What should I do? What do you mean by it's not secure at night? If there are dogs that will attack you on your way, you have an excuse. And you don't have a car, you don't have any vehicle that will shield you from the dogs, and they will attack you and probably give you rabies and you could die and so on. You're afraid for your life. You're afraid that they may attack you and get you injured and so on. And there's no way you can escape from them. And that's your only route to the mosque. That would be a great excuse. If you fear that you will be insecure, then that would be an excuse. Or you are too ill to walk out of your house. That would be an excuse. If not for such excuses, you must go to the mosque and pray. You shouldn't be praying at home with your wife. If it's Khamsu Salawat, you must leave your house and go to the mosque to pray. Or perhaps Salatul Fajr, Salatul Isha, you have such problems of insecurity, then you stay in your house and pray with your wife and children. Inshallah, may Allah accept from us. Now. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بها جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.